The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, March 11th. On today's broadcast, we'll talk with World of Outlaws Sprint Car driver Joey Saldana and get his thoughts on the 2014 season, and also we'll find out how he's feeling after getting hit in the arm with the rock last weekend. And we'll also talk with World of Outlaw driver Kerry Mattson and their incredible gesture by him and the Canaric Racing Team the other week in Australia. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by Coastal181.com, Reading for Racers, and by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Luke Bowie driving the 55AU. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We bring in a guy that, well, unfortunately, it's one of those ones where if he didn't have any bad luck, he might not have good luck, but a lot of people wish he had some good luck because he's a veteran of the sport, a well-known name in racing family circles, and they call him the Brownsburg Bullet. We welcome in Joey Saldana to the Sprint Car Show. Joey, great to talk with you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Now, I understand a rock came through the right side rock guard the other evening out in Las Vegas. Just from the sheer standpoint of the rock coming through that rock guard, what are the chances of that actually happening?
Probably slim to none, but if it's going to happen, it seems like I'm the one that it happens to. And but, I mean, it is what it is. You just deal with it and move on. It probably would never, ever happen again, but it just so happened that it happened to me. I mean, a lot of teams like TSR and KKR, they do a lot and having carbon fiber arm guards to eliminate stuff like that, but a lot of teams can't afford that. So our team, we had a regular fiberglass arm guard, which 90% of the teams out there have, and it just wasn't strong enough to withstand a rock going 130, 40 mile an hour.
And the impact, I mean, just the sheer force of that impact had to be a jolt to your system.
It was to me. I mean, at the time when I got hit, it was in the dash, about halfway through the dash. And, you know, obviously when I got hit, I knew it was, you know, it was pretty big. But finished the dash, and by the time I got to my trailer in the pits, you know, the hematoma was pretty massive by then. But now that I've gone to doctors, the reason why is my muscle really doesn't have anything around it. That when it got hit, the muscle pretty much just, you know, knotted up, and obviously you broke some blood vessels, and it looked, you know, aggressively worse than probably if it would have happened to somebody else. But it was a good thing I had the plates and the pins in there because they felt like that helped it, you know, to withstand the impact and kept it from getting any fractures. So definitely went to the doctor, no fractures, just have an issue with one of the screws that I have, and going to go back there tomorrow, and hopefully they can figure out what they're going to do about that.
Well, that's good to hear, because you were telling me that the forearm was shattered in that crash out of Eldora back in 2011. Conscientiously now, can you do anything until you are in a position to get a carbon fiber right arm rock guard? Can you strengthen it in any way, shape, or form that would not deem it illegal by the current standards of the World Outlaws?
Well, it's not illegal. It's just expensive. Yeah. And luckily, Barry Jackson with Tie 22, he sees that maybe there needs to be something done there. He came and saw my car, and they're making a mold of one now that we can send to a carbon place here in Indy, Aerodyne Composites, and they're going to try and get me one ASAP. So hopefully we can get one made here in the next few days, and if I don't have it for Tulare, we'll probably have it the next week for Chico.
How big was the rock? Did it actually?
It felt like a bowling ball.
Wow!
I mean, I really don't know. I mean, it was definitely big enough that it blew the right side arm guard pretty much off, and
wow.
And impacted my arm enough that definitely they were concerned about the impact. They couldn't get my pulse in my right hand, and the swelling was pretty aggressive. That they felt like a blood clot or just internal bleeding into my arm, just anything. So they were definitely cautious about that, and I'm glad they were. I mean, I would have tried to race, but it definitely probably wasn't in the right state to be driving a race car at the time. So glad everything turned out all right, and we came back to Tucson 2 days later and had a good solid sixth place finish. So definitely glad we got a few days off that this thing can hopefully get less swollen. It's pretty swollen now, and get better for this Friday at Tulare, California.
And a quick tip of the hat to Lucas Wolf, who jumped into your car and started it and got some points there for Dan Matter and the team. So that's a great kid there, and Lucas, and you couldn't ask for a nicer kid to be around and have somebody like him to be able to step up and help out a fellow competitor.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if it would have been something serious that I was going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, I definitely would look at Lucas Wolf. I think he's a great talent, a great driver. Definitely, deserves an opportunity. He's shown that he can race with the Outlaws. So he would definitely be my pick to put in the car to replace me till I got back. But luckily we don't have to do that, and I'm ready to go.
I think you're sounding, though, you'd like to get a little luck of the Irish rub off on you here and get past some of these unfortunate incidents that just seem to come up and get you when you're not looking then.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like that. I mean, when everything's rolling good, we seem to have issues like that when I'm in a hospital. And, definitely it can take your drive out of you. But if anything, I want to continue racing and be as good as I can be. It hasn't stopped my drive and will to race. I still see myself being very fortunate to even be a race car driver. So if things like that happen and it happens to me, then that's just the way it is. I don't wish it on anybody. So if it has to happen, I'd rather take it than somebody else and just try and deal with it and move on. And hopefully we can get a good solid finish in this season and get the bad stuff behind us.
We'll get to the season, Joey, in just a moment. I wanted to just finish up on some safety things with the World of Outlaws. This year, I didn't get the full gist as to what was going on with the seat, but I believe is it a little bit larger seat or a little bit more reconfigured and confined more for the driver, and how do you feel that is working out so far?
I think they're just looking into, every driver needs a head and neck support system. I use a Butler-built seat, and I feel it's very safe. I have a full-body insert that a lot of guys don't use, but I definitely believe in that, and everybody should have one. I know it's a little more money, but you only got one body, and you need to do everything you can to protect it. And I feel like my car, my seat, my safety equipment, everything's as good as I can get, and I'm happy. Every time I strap in, I feel as safe as I can be. I think the Outlaws just realize, there is safety equipment that needs to be, I don't know if it's how, you don't really want to force it on anybody, but it kind of needs to be. I think there needs to be a rule that it's mandatory for a head and neck device, which they recommend it, but it's not mandatory. And that's what's sad, really. The World of Outlaws is the only professional series that's not mandatory. but a lot of guys don't want to use them and they're uncomfortable, so they won't make it mandatory. But that's probably more important than seats or anything else, the head and neck device, that we don't have a mandatory rule yet.
Is there anything else with all the years and knowledge you guys have being in and around racing other than the head and neck restraint? Is there anything else that you would like to see in the advancement of safety on a sprint car?
You know, I think April 1st, I think you have to have front end tethers. I don't really know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Obviously, we haven't had a tether on our car in a bad wreck yet, so we don't really know how it's going to be. But I know they're trying to protect the fans, which ultimately that is the main goal. But sometimes a tether system like that, especially on our cars, could maybe make it worse for the drivers and getting other people hurt. Our cars are kind of made to break apart, and so I really don't know how that's going to work. But I do know the tether on the drag link, that's mandatory now. I think that was good. So hopefully these tethers on the front ends will end up being like the drag link tether and be very beneficial. I mean, obviously you won't know till it's in that situation. So other than that, I think our cars are safe. I mean, it's motorsports. I mean, it's a dangerous occupation. You're never going to make it 100% safe, and nor do I feel that they need to. I mean, I think that's just the name of the game. It can be bad, it can be good. I mean, obviously you don't want bad in anything, but sometimes you can go overboard on things and make things more dangerous. I'm from a racing family. My dad raced for 25 years, and so I understand the pros and cons of everything, but it is motorsports, and you can only do so much to make the drivers safe, and it is what it is. I think the biggest thing is just hopefully keeping the fans safe that they can enjoy and watch a good race.
Well, speaking of safety, the other night you guys had a very gusty wind conditions to deal with out there in the desert in and around Phoenix, and understand that at one point a 40-mile-an-hour gust came along, and that played a little havoc with the dash cars. At what point, with the way the cars are these days and the way the wings are made, is there a threshold as to a situation like that where too windy is too dangerous to be driving around in the sprint car?
Well, actually, I've been winded out. I was at a World of Outlaw race in Oklahoma City when I first started running with the Outlaws, and we went out to hot lap, and a couple cars got into the fence, and they ended up canceling the show for the wind. So I've seen it one other time, so I know the Outlaws, you know, they're proactive on they've obviously done it once, they'll do it again, and it was, you know, very windy, so that's why they cut laps out of the feature, and felt like during the B main, if there's, you know, accident after accident, we need to look at doing something different. And the B main went off well. They only had one yellow, which was a spin, not really any issue because of the wind. So I think they felt like, well, we got that behind us. Let's just give it a shot. So yeah, I mean, it obviously can be too windy for any car. But I don't think it ended up being changing the outcome of the racing the other night. I think they did the right job by racing. Obviously, in the situation, the dash, it definitely caught a lot of us off guard. I was in the dash myself, so I know it was, you know, really windy, and it seemed like once one guy got caught up in it, the other guys just kind of followed suit. It's kind of like a chain reaction, so I don't know. They're definitely proactive. At least they look at it and they pay attention to it. I mean, I don't think that race should have been canceled because of wind. So I think at the end of the day, they did the right thing by racing.
Well, Joe, you head into the California Swing, eighth in the World of Outlaw points at the present time. One top five, four top tens, outside of the rock hitting your arm. How would you grade the season so far, and is it where you thought you guys might be, or is it not where you guys want to be heading into California?
You know, we started the season, very first race of the season at Volusia, we won. It was an all-star race, but all the heavy hitters were there, and we definitely showed we have the speed. We've set quick time with the Outlaws twice, and I think if you throw out the the miss in the feature the other night because I had to go to the hospital, we'd be, you know, fifth in points. You know, we'd be right there, so fifth, sixth. And we haven't won an outlaw race yet, but I think we've shown we do have the speed to win, and I think it's just around the corner for us. I'm looking forward to California. I love racing out there. Definitely Tulare, where we're going this weekend. I've had some success there, so I'm looking forward to it. I feel like our season's probably a B. You know, I don't consider it an A. We got a lot more we need to do and get better at, but we're not giving up. And hopefully this weekend we can get our first W with the World of Outlaws.
What are your thoughts on the Outlaws putting up the emphasis on qualifying compared to how things were in the past with the points being spread out somewhat throughout the course of the evening?
Well, you know, I've been on both ends of it. I won 21 Outlaw races in 2009, and Donnie Schatz won the points. So I think, you know, last year Donnie Schatz wins 23 races and runs, you know, doesn't win the points, and they see it being a point deal because of qualifying. I think at the beginning of the season, everybody has the same rule book. Everybody has the same point structure. So we all know how it works. Obviously, you know, after Donnie's season, Donnie's pushing for it. We need more emphasis on wins. But in 2009, when I won 21, you know, obviously I was pushing for emphasis on wins. I won, you know, 10, 12 more races than anybody that season, led more laps, did everything right, still didn't win the points. So I don't know what's right or wrong. I definitely think the point system is right for qualifying. I think you need to add points for that to make it a reason to go out and put down a good lap because, you know, sometimes the way the World of Outlaw format is, it obviously isn't good to qualify up front. You want to, you know, be, say, 9th through 16th to be on front of your dash, and that pretty much puts you in a better spot at winning a race than fast time. So I'm glad there's points there. I wish there was more points for winning races. I think they only added one more point this year for winning a race, which isn't enough. And I think they need to put points in for heat races to, you know, make heat races more important. I mean, yeah, you need to run top two, but, you know, if you got passing points or finishing points, something to make you want to race hard in your heat race, I'd definitely be for that because I think that's a necessity, too. The fans are out there. They want to see racing in the heats, too. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's right or wrong, but you definitely need to put points towards winning and winning in anything, if it's the heat race, feature, qualifying, whatever. The better you do, the more points you should get.
And your thoughts on the Outlaws in terms of the years you've been racing with them, what are some of the things that you've seen that has changed over the years that you think has changed for the good? And is it, you mentioned before, this is, you know, it's a passion for your family. Is that passion just as bright or even brighter burning now than it was when you started years ago?
You know, probably when I started, I never even really thought about being an outlaw driver. I just wanted to race. So I think in time I've realized, you know, if I wanted to be a professional driver and do it for a living and provide for my family, this was probably my best scenario, was follow the World of Outlaws steps and try and become a driver that could do it for a few years. Luckily, I've been doing this full-time since 2000. And it's, to me, the best thing I ever could have done. Everything I have is from racing, so it's been a win-win for me. But I am from Indy. My dad ran the Indy 500 and, you know, worked through the ranks and got to the Elite Series, which was IndyCar. And so really, in the back of my mind, that's what I've always really wanted to do, but the passion for that became a money deal, and it kind of takes away from your drive to race. It becomes more of how do you promote yourself to get the financial backing to race. It really has nothing to do with your driving ability. And at least with the World of Outlaws, it's still kind of there. You know, it's still, if you can race, you can get a job. And so that passion there has never left, and I still love doing it. But definitely, you know, with my son being 10 and my youngest is 3, you know, they're doing a lot of things within school and sports that you miss out on, that you sacrifice from. But I got a great wife and great kids, and I wouldn't want them to do anything different than what they're doing, or have my racing dictate their lives. So right now it's a win-win, and I still love doing it.
Are the kids getting it, racing at all?
You know, my oldest son has a quarter midget and an outlaw cart, and we have it there, but we really, you know, we don't push it or emphasize that he needs to go do it. He's playing baseball and football and basketball, and as long as his heart's in that, he always can race. You know, he doesn't have to start racing at 10. I didn't start racing until I was 16, 17 years old, so, you know, he can still do it. It doesn't mean he's not going to be successful if he doesn't do it when he's 5, 6, 7 years old. So if he's got the drive and the passion, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, and let it be known, there's not many kids in the state of Indiana that don't play basketball. They're not playing basketball.
Yeah.
They're usually wrestling, which leads me into a competitor of yours, Steve Kinzer, well-known guy and a well-known wrestler in the state of Indiana, with this being his farewell tour for points racing. Is there any funny Steve Kinzer story you might be able to share with us?
Well, I just got asked that question this weekend in Las Vegas, and you know, a huge Steve Kinzer fan. How could you not be? I mean, the guy's a legend. He's done everything there is to do and more. But I have a helmet collection, and I'm up to like 125 helmets, but I never had Steve Kinzer, and I've been on him, but, you know, I'm like a little kid, you know, talking to him that, you know, I don't feel worthy that I should have a Steve Kinzer helmet. But I finally got one this winter, and he told me to meet him at the airport, and he'd have a helmet for me. So, I mean, as soon as I heard that, I was off the phone and sitting at the airport waiting for him, and luckily I got my Steve Kinzer helmet, and definitely will cherish that and have that proudly hanging with all my other helmets. But he's definitely a legend, and I can remember him racing with my dad, and it's amazing how successful he's been for so long, and still at his age now winning races and being competitive. He's a rare breed. He's like a Michael Jordan. So you don't see these guys come along very often, so I'm definitely blessed that I got to not only race with him, but appreciate him as a fan and just get to watch him.
And just real quick, want to go back to Indy for 1 second. Joey did tell me beforehand something folks you may not know. He actually had two offers, one from Panther and one from Roger Beck, son, to have a shot to race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But there again, as he mentioned, sometimes it's a lot to do with money. That's unfortunately, it's as we've gone on, is dictating to how people get rides, more so back in the day when the Foyts, the Parnelli Joneses, the Unzers, they earned that through their names and what they did out on the racetrack. So Joey, as you go forward, California this weekend, Tulare up front, and then you start coming back and eventually migrating back here towards east. What are the team goals outside of winning the championship, which is the obvious one? What are the team goals for this season?
My goal is win races, win as many as possible. I've won 95 outlaw races, and honestly, I want to win. Doug Wolfgang was a huge fan of Doug Wolfgang. He's won 107 outlaw shows, and I'd love to win at least 100 outlaw shows. I'll be right there with Doug Wolfgang before my career is over. So that's my goal, win as many races as possible, get into that 100 club with some elite guys, and hopefully we can do that this year. I know we definitely have the car and the team to do it. We just need to do it on race day. So I've been lucky enough to win 21 outlaw races in one season, and I've also had years I've only won one race in one season. So I'd like to accomplish that goal, and I think that's everybody's goal, and that's win a lot of races. And if we win a lot of races, that'll put me in that 100 club. So hopefully we can do that this year.
Well, Joey, we want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us here on the Sprint Car Show. Wish you and the Dan Motter team all the best of luck for the remainder of the season. And here's hoping that no more rocks or any other bad luck comes flying your way this year or in the years to come, and you can finally shake whatever seems to be following you from time to time, and instead of having bad luck, you have some good luck. So all the best of luck to you for the remainder of the 2014 season.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Joey Saldana joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We will take a break and be back with more of our show right after this. Just in time for spring, motorsports publisher Coastal 181 will deliver another great open-wheel book titled The People's Champ, A Racing Life. This autobiography of USAC Triple Crown champion Dave Darlin looks at his racing career from quarter midgets to sprint cars. The People's Champ is sure to be a hit with open-wheel fans about one of the sport's true class acts. To learn more, visit Coastal181.com or call them toll-free at 877-907-8181. Coastal 181, reading for racers.
Hi, this is Justin Henderson. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Well, if you checked out our blog, Inside Track, on our website, you saw a little mention a couple weeks ago about a tremendous gesture that happened after winning a big race in Australia. Here to tell us a little bit more about that, how things went for him in Australia, and what he's looking to accomplish this year with the World Outlaws is St. Mary's, New South Wales' own Kerry Madsen. Kerry, it's a great pleasure to talk with you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sean. Pleasure to be on.
Sure. Well, right now you're in Knoxville, Iowa, getting ready to head out to California for the California swing of the World of Outlaws. Let's just start there real quick. You come back from Australia. You're sixth in the points, 44 out of the lead, heading into California. What are your thoughts, and what is the team looking to accomplish this year with the World of Outlaws?
We're committed to do 100% of the series, and we have a great sponsor on board this year with American Racing Custom Wheels. So first and foremost, obviously we want to be competitive every night and have a good run, but we have 95 races or something on the schedule, so obviously there's going to be some good nights and bad nights. So obviously when we want to have a lot more good nights. We've had a real good start to the season. We've been quite consistent, so we'd like to keep that up. Obviously go win some races and represent our sponsors and our owners as well. That's the main priorities.
Well, you ended your Australian tour with a big win. It was the Cricky Boys Shootout, your second win in that event. Before we talk about what happened in Victory Lane, as an Australian, there's the Australian Sprint Car Championship, there's the Grand Annual Classic, but because of the tragedy that happened with the Cricky Boys, because of what that family has done for and continues to do for the sport, as an Australian, Kerry, what does it mean to you to win a race like that?
Oh, it's a lot. The race itself's in Bunbury, Western Australia, and our team owners are from Perth, which is only an hour and a half up the road. So to anyone with any Western Australian sprint car connection, that's a huge race, and it's very prestigious, especially in all of Australia. So, you know, it's just an honour to win it, to be honest. It's Ron Crickey and John Crickey's race, and they promote it every year, and they really try to push the party-type atmosphere for the crowd. So crowd love it. All the competitors love competing in it, so it's definitely on my calendar every year.
And you were telling me just before we came on the air here, because I was looking at some YouTube video from a past few races out there at the Quit Bunbury Raceway. It's about a 3/8, give or take, which may be slightly larger than what is typical with Australia in these days, but leading all 35 laps at that place. Tell me about the race itself.
Well, actually, it was a two-night event, so we had a great race car all weekend. We actually had quick time, and I think we ended up second or third in points, and I have like a shootout, so we started on the pole. So we actually brought one of our Lord of Outlaw car and motors down, so our owners took it pretty seriously, and the guys down there had a great race. The track was good. It was nice and slick and had a cushion, so there was racing all around. So, and actually, sometimes it's a lot more fun to come from the back or come from a row back, and you can get it. You've got a good race car, you can get the feel of the race a lot easier. So to win 35 and knowing there was 20,000 on the line was pretty tense, but luckily the race sort of rolled our way and we got away with the victory.
And of course, as you just mentioned, it was $20,000 to win. It's what happened in Victory Lane that, as I said in our blog, a lot of people haven't really picked up on it, and I think it was a tremendous gesture between you and the Kendrick Race team You guys donated the entire $20,000 to the Royal Melbourne Children's Hospital Cancer Research Center on behalf of the Australian part of Jeff Gordon's Kick It Foundation. Tell me how that whole idea came about. Was that a spontaneous thing, or was that something that you folks had talked about if the opportunity presented yourself with winning the Cricky Boys Shootout?
Well, actually, the owners is Canaric Group, Racing, and Bob Gavrinich and Pete Gavrinich are the owners of that team. And how it came about, we've actually made donations before to... we won a race a year ago in Willamette. It was an outlaw race. And we donated the winnings then to the Kick It for Cancer, Jeff Gordon's Kick It for Cancer Foundation, which was $6,000. And we had the person that runs the Australian version of that, Australian Kick It for Cancer, she was at the races. So I think Pete Gavrinich was so overwhelmed with winning that he decided to donate the winnings to the Australian Kick It for Cancer, which actually ended up in the Royal Melbourne Children's Hospital. So, I mean, it's just, you know, mind-boggling, fantastic that to be associated with something so good as that. And, you know, I didn't even know what to say. Obviously, $20,000 is a lot of money. So for Bob and Pete to put that up and do that, it's just, you know, I wish we could do more of it, to be honest.
Well, I think it's a great thing for you and the Canaric Racing team and for Bob and Pete to do. Now, what do you know about the Royal Melbourne Children's Hospital Cancer Research Center? Is that the main hospital research center for children's cancer in all of Australia?
Look, I don't exactly know if that is or the facts on that, but, you know, obviously it's an extremely worthy cause, so the more... you know, the more exposure or the more we can make known about it and get behind and raise money for such a great charity is fantastic. The Australian version of the Australian Kick It for Cancer, that I think they already this year raised $55,000 or $60,000 already for that cause. So to raise exposure and help out, you know, children's cancer or to try and defeat children's cancer is a fantastic thing.
Well, Kerry, that's a great thing because Mark Robinson, who was one of the top V8 dirt modified drivers out of Sydney area, one of his younger daughters is battling cancer. So it's a great thing to see the awareness that racers are taking to and helping out. And a great thing that Jeff Gordon is doing as well to give back to people, you know, less fortunate than us, but at the same time going through tragedies, and it makes us stop and realize just how fortunate and lucky we are. Speaking of lucky, you've been driving for the Kenrick race team for a while. What's it like racing for those guys, and how was the 2013-2014 Australian season for you?
Oh, to drive for Bob and Pete Gavrinich is just, you know, fantastic. They're just great people, and it's definitely made, you know, it's great to get involved with some good people. I feel like it's made me a better person, so just relishing the opportunity, to be honest. And we've really assembled a fantastic team this year, and we've got some great people, we've got a great sponsor, so it's just been exciting to watch it all unfold. And, you know, the team's come out of the box firing, so we just want to continue on and see how the year falls out.
Well, again, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to allude to that. We didn't really do a lot in 2013, 2014 in Australia. We just went, we did one weekend for the Warrnambool Classic, and we ran fifth in that. And then the next time I went back was for the World Series Final and the Cricky Boys Shootout. So we didn't do a lot, but being that this year, 2014, with the World of Outlaws, is going to be such an arduous schedule. So the time was better served back in the USA preparing for it.
All the best of luck to you and the team for a safe and successful 2014 season here with the World of Outlaws. And again, a great gesture on behalf of Bob and Pete Gravenvich and yourself and the entire team for making that donation to the Royal Melbourne Children's Hospital Cancer Research Center on behalf of Jeff Gordon's Kick It Foundation. That's just, we don't see that too often these days, and it's definitely something to take note of as the year goes on.
Okay, Sean. Thanks.
Sure thing. Kerry Madsen joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We will take a break and be back with more right after this. Just in time for spring, motorsports publisher Coastal 181 will deliver another great open-wheel book titled The People's Champ, A Racing Life. This autobiography of USAC Triple Crown champion Dave Darlin looks at his racing career from quarter midgets to sprint cars. The People's Champ is sure to be a hit with open-wheel fans about one of the sport's true class acts. To learn more, visit Coastal181.com or call them toll-free at 877-907-8181. Coastal 181, reading for racers. Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show. Special thanks to our guests Joey Saldana and Kerry Madsen for joining us this week. Some news and notes to pass along to you from the world of sprint car racing. We're still waiting word as to whether or not Lincoln Speedway will finally get their Icebreaker 30 in this coming Saturday. Check the websites or visit us on Facebook at the Sprint Car Show, and we'll let you know what's happening with that particular race. Last Saturday night in Chico, California, Silver Dollar Speedway opened their season with 360 sprint cars. It was Rico Abreu continuing his early season hot streak. That's win number 3 for the California Hot Shoe. Lyman Land Motorsports Park has announced that March 24th is the date for tickets to go on sale for the Brad Doty Classic for the World of Outlaws, and that race will be held on Wednesday, July the 9th, and 2 days later, the World of Outlaws Kings Royal takes place at Eldora Speedway. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's podcast. We will be back with you next week on the 18th of March, and an early happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. Our broadcast has been brought to you by Coastal181.com, Reading for Racers, and by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday, March the 18th, right here on the Dirt Track Channel with another edition of the Sprint Car Show. Have a great day. I'm Sean Wood.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.